Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Well, good morning, everybody. This is the Central Valley Sports Report. You found us here on 1430 ESPN. I'm your host, Paul Metters. Here at First String Sports. You guys know where First String Sports is, right? Of course you do. It's on Blackstone Avenue in between Sierra and Herndon Avenues. This is definitely the place to be. I'm here in the Letterman's Jacket Room where I've had my show since day one for the last year and a half, off to the right at First String Sports, right when you walk in. And I wouldn't want to have my show any other place in the Central Valley. I'm looking at Letterman's jackets. I'm surrounded by high school paraphernalia. Actually, to my right, I can see a little bit past this long length mirror here, where when people try on the Letterman's jackets, just past that, I can see those chairs with the logos of all the schools. I see Madera and Kerman, even. I mean, even all the rural schools. You think, well, First String Sports, it's in Fresno, right? Cater to Fresno and Clovis. Of course they do. But however, all the schools in the valley, you can come down here and check all that cool stuff out here at First String Sports. So very, very, very thankful to them for supporting the show. All right, what's going on today? Well, 2 hours of pure high school sports talk. High school sports in the Central section. That's what we do here on 1430 ESPN. You guys can also go to the 1430 ESPN Fresno website. You can download all the other shows that we have here on the station. Obviously my show, you can go back and look under the tabs there for podcast. You can see all the shows. You could download Gabe Camarillo's show. In fact, we're going to be talking with Gabe Camarillo. He hosts Home Field Advantage Monday through Thursday. We're talking with Gabe. Actually, a little bit different format today. I'll get into it in a second. But talking to Gabe around 10:32. You could go to his show, Home Field Advantage, and check that out. Jose Gonzalez show, that's in the morning. And Bulldog Hour, of course, with Tony D, the trusted voice of Tony D. Go check that out. You can follow me on Twitter at Paul Metters, PaulMeadors. You could also follow the official 1430 ESPN Twitter account, 1430 ESPN. All right, so we mentioned that we're talking with Gabe Camarillo, who's been everywhere. He's been everywhere this week, especially interested in the big one. What is the big one? Well, that's the big wrestling duel between number one in the state, Buchanan, and number three, Clovis. He was able to witness that. I wasn't able to go this year. I haven't been in 2 years, but, man, I've been there three times, and it's an event. It's an extravaganza. I mean, there's nothing like it. I can probably say that there's nothing like it in the United States as far as high school wrestling. It is an absolute show. Gabe had a front row seat to that. So excited to hear from his point of view what he witnessed there, and the pageantry, and then the light show, and, you know, the main event, that it was. There wasn't wrestlers that were wrestling on the side. I mean, it's just one stage with the spotlight on one match. So that's going to be, I'm really looking forward to talking to Gabe about that. And of course, we'll talk about high school basketball up and down the Central section as well. But you guys know that there are teams, you know, that are dropping and rising on the Max Preps rankings in high school basketball. And it's based on this strength of schedule. Gabe and I are going to get into that a little bit. But, you know, if nobody can really figure out the algorithms that go on there. And there's one specific case that I'm very curious about. And I did a little bit of a deep dive into the Carruthers girls basketball program because they are winning games in league, and they're winning it big. They just won their 96th straight league game. And they're not winning games. They're destroying teams, absolutely destroying teams. And it's curious to see how their rankings go up and down on Max Preps. It doesn't really make sense. They're actually being penalized for winning games, if that makes sense. I'm going to dive into that a little bit deeper after the break. As you guys also know, that in the early 1990s, from Fresno Pacific College, as it was known back then, now it's Fresno Pacific University, but back in the early 1990s, when it was called Fresno Pacific College, there was a hotbed of men's basketball players who then have gone on to coach high school basketball. There's one guy in particular who went on to be a head coach at the college level, Division I college level. But there are a ton of players from that era that are still ingrained in the Central Section. And I'm going to mention these guys after the break as well. And one of our guests, an hour number two, is one of those guys. I've actually had another one. I have Tim Admonson. I guess I just spoiled a little bit. But, yeah, Tim Admonson was on the Fresno Pacific College basketball team in the early 90s, and we know the great job that he's done in the Central Section. But there are tons of dudes from that era. It's pretty awesome. It's pretty awesome. I went to college during that time, so I had a front row seat to those guys, to watching those guys. I know all of them. But Tim was one of them, and Ken Vossler, who's now coach at the Justin Garza boys program. He's coming on the show at the top of hour number two. It's their first year fielding a varsity team, much like all their sports. And we've had Yosef Ferris on the show, the head coach of the football team. And we're going to kind of get into some of the same stuff that Yosef and I have talked about, you know, do they think they're thrown into the fire a little bit? First year, they don't have seniors, guys. Justin Garza does not have seniors in their class. Their sophomore classes are the bread and butter of the varsity teams, and they've been thrown into the CMAC. But anyway, Ken Vossler was part of that Fresno Pacific group in the early 1990s and got on to be coaches. So I've known Ken for a lot of years. So talk about, you know, a lot of those topics about whether or not Justin Garza, should have been in the CMAC, what his roster looks like right now, what he thinks the program or what the goals are for what they're going to look like in 2 to 3 years. So really looking forward to talking to Ken Vossler about that and much, much more. Our 1430 ESPN Student Athlete of the Week is going to be Jackson Young, Clovis West basketball. And I was able to go to the Clovis West and Buchanan basketball game last night, and they beat Buchanan 80-40. And one of the more interesting, crazy things about last night's game, those of you that are in the basketball know that Tom Ulrich, the longtime coach at Clovis West, the boys program, has now taken over the Buchanan program. So this was their first matchup. It was at Buchanan. So to see Tom Ulrich coaching for Buchanan against Vance Wahlberg, who's coaching for Clovis West, that was just, oh my gosh, what were the odds at the beginning of the year that would be a thing? And it most definitely was a thing. And in last night's game, Jackson Young scored 11 points. Isaac Martinez had 15 in that win. And yeah, Clovis West looked really, really strong in that one. Coming off losing to Modesto Christian and then losing to Clovis North in the track opener, they looked like they were firing on all cylinders. And I was able to watch the girls game after that. Clovis West girls ranked number 4 in the state, number 1 in the Central Section. They're now 21-0 after defeating Buchanan 70-42. Actually, Clovis West only had a 1-point lead at halftime, and then that third quarter they blew up. they flipped the switch, and their defense intensity came out, and they cruised to that big win at Buchanan. Athena Tomlinson, the highly recruited junior, scored 17 points, not in the game, guys. 17 points in the third quarter fueled the Golden Eagles to another victory. But I also want to mention too that Bob Barnett, right, longtime Central Section historian who provides just an incredible amount, a wealth of information out there about Central Section. I mean, the guy is amazing. Big-time contributor to the Fresno Bee for a lot of years, and still has his Bob Barnett's milestones that are printed on the CIF Central Section website. You guys can go to that and check it out. He does an incredible job. But it was tweeted out by Cal High Sports. You got information from Bob. And Bob figured out that the Clovis West basketball programs are the only programs in the section with 1,000 wins in both boys and girls basketball. Like I mentioned, the girls are 21-0, number 4 in the state. The boys are now 21-2. They're ranked 21st in the state. If you think about it, too, Clovis West is not – they're not a relatively new high school. I know, Clovis East, Clovis North, Buchanan, those are the newest girls. But You know, there is a rich tradition, but the school's only been around since since 1978. So to secure 1,000 wins in both sports since then, a little under 50 years, is quite an accomplishment. So the girls did it when they beat Clovis North on January 10th. And in that time, talking about the history of Clovis West, they've had six coaches in that span. Talking about the girls, with Coach Craig Campbell obviously leading the way with 453 wins. And sometimes people forget this, but Jose Hernandez had 379 of those wins. And he is now one of Vance's lead assistants. So it's great to see Jose still connected to school. He's an incredible guy, super nice guy. If you know Clovis West basketball, you see him there all the time. On the boys' side, the Golden Eagles reached their 1,000th win. They did it last year against San Joaquin Memorial on February 19th. But, you know, the coaching pedigree of Clovis West boys, you know, from Steve Cleveland to Vance Wahlberg to Tom Horlidge, who we mentioned, now back to Vance Wahlberg. It's absolutely fascinating. So I thought you guys might be interested in that. To me, that's a big-time fun fact. And I also want to mention when Ulrich was here, he was here for 14 years, and his record was 311-99. Eight conference titles, eight section final appearances, and that really good run that they had in 2006 when they went to the state championship and got that Southern California Regional Championship. So, I mean, just incredible pedigree, incredible guys, incredible coaches, and obviously you got to have players too. So, that, you know, Clovis West program is definitely the gold standard in the Central Section and has been that way for a long, long time. Also want to mention, too, San Joaquin Memorials. Now we're up to 42 CMAC straight wins. Talking about the boys after beating Madera last night, 98-40. And I did mention that 96 straight league wins for Carruthers. So lots of fun streaks. And, congratulations to all those programs for all their hard work throughout the year. So we'll come back after the break. I'm going to dive a little bit deeper into some cool fun facts. Especially about Carruthers and, they're winning these league games by an incredible margin. But I did a little bit of a deeper dive into some of the reasons why, and I have a few opinions on that. And, I mentioned some of these coaches from Fresno Pacific College in the early 1990s have gone on to be ingrained in Central Section high school basketball. So that will be coming up here on the break on 1430 ESPN. Thank you guys for listening. I wish I found some better sounds no one's ever heard. Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN. I'm your host, Paul Metters. He's had a little bit of an intro there. Well, I mean, speaking of an intro, 21 Pilots, one of my favorite groups of all time, actually number two right now. I'm a big List guy. I am a huge List guy. I don't know. I know that bugs a lot of people. Another List. But, yeah, I love ranking things. I have my top movies of all time, my top bands of all time. And that's why I love rankings. I love talking about, who's going to move up who if this team beats this team. You know, what are the rankings going to look like. Maybe a little bit OCD about that type of stuff, but I love rankings. And I knew the flip side of that, right, is, well, rankings don't mean anything unless you win a championship. Well, that part is true as well, right? I mean, it doesn't mean a thing if you don't got that ring sometimes. I know the journey is extremely important, but, when it all comes down to it, you want to win championships. And, rankings don't matter unless you make it to the finals and win that final game. But, Carruthers girls, we've talked to Coach Ann Almeida on the show a few times over the last couple years. We know about how good of a program it is, a state championship. I mentioned their 96 league wins in a row. I mean, 96, right? That's 10 years or so, right, if you're playing 10 league games a year. So that's just nuts. That's crazy. That's domination. That's if you're another school and there is another school in your league that is dominating opponents, you don't like them. Why would you like them? I mean, they're in your league and they're beating everybody up, right? That's no fun. Last night, Carruthers had their toughest game in league, and that was against Sierra up in Sierra. And so, Sierra's got a pretty good little ball club this year. And so that was, to me, was going to be a pretty good gauge on just how dominant Carruthers has been in league. And they beat them. They beat them handily, 73-36. So they took care of Sierra, which was going to be their toughest game in league, in the South Northwest Sequoia League. However, if you go to Max Preps and you go to their schedule and you look at a few of their games, here's just a couple of samples of the score. And these are just facts, right? These games happened. They beat Chowchilla 105-9. They beat Riverdale 94-5. They beat Liberty Madera 90-3, right? They're playing Central today. Central's ranked, I believe, fifth on Max Preps, all in the entire Central section. Carruthers, we're getting into a little bit later, they are now ranked 14th. They were ranked 7th for the longest time, 7th or 8th. Now they're ranked 14th, all right? So they're playing Central today at 6 o'clock. So we'll get a great read on how good Carruthers is compared to, you know, let's just say the top five, all right? Get an incredible read, all right? Win or lose, keep it close. We'll know for sure. On the surface, those scores that I mentioned, some of those league games I mentioned, they look terrible, don't they? I mean, if you didn't really know what was going on, you'd be like, what are those girls doing? How can you beat a girls' team by those incredible scores, right? We see that in football sometimes. You see like 70-0. And as a coach, I've been on both sides of that. I've been on the winning side. We're just dominating everybody. And I've been on, you know, the losing side where we're being dominated. And, you know, when you're dominating a team and let's just take football, for instance, when your 11 players are better than the other team's 11 players on every play, you're going to dominate the play, right? And if you score running the ball, you know, on every other play, what are you going to do, right? We need to tell the kid, you know what, you know, slow down a little bit. You know what, maybe you can a little bit as far as blocking, like maybe don't hit this kid so hard. I don't know, but that's hard. That's hard to do. Right, when you're used to setting a standard, when you have the horses, when you have the athletes, you let them run. You go for it, right? I do know that Carruthers in those games, that they did not press late in the game. I know that. I know that they stick their defense inside the three-point line, right? I've coached in some basketball games that have been blowouts, you know, not by those scores, but, you know, winning by 40 or so, and it's hard. It's hard when you got young kids out there that know one thing, to practice one way, like full throttle, stealing the ball, jumping the passing lanes. All that is hard when it's ingrained in your system since second, third, fourth grade. Yes, that happens, right? It's difficult. And I want to mention Riverdale, and I don't want to pick on them. You know, if you guys know me and know the style of my show, I don't like to pick on anybody. at all. But Riverdale's 0-14. Again, just spitting out the facts. They've also lost some games to the Sierra team that Carruthers beat 73-36. They lost to Sierra 93-4. Right? So that puts a little perspective. Fresno Christian beat them 43-3. So how did Carruthers get to this point? How did they get so dominant? Hard work. Hard work. There's no other reason, guys. They're not bringing in 6'3" girls. They're not recruiting. They're not a private school where they could just bring in and give scholarships. They're not that. They've worked hard at it. And I've seen it. I've seen it firsthand. And I've talked to people. I've talked to coaches. I know what they do. Coach Almeida was on my show a few weeks ago, and she was chomping at the bit on Saturday because she wanted to get back into the lab. She wanted to get working. She started by working with the second and third graders. That's the model that Clovis West is on. You talk about success and beating opponents and national championships and section championships. Well, that's how you do it. That's how you do it. That's how you do it in the Central section. A little bit different in SoCal, I'll be honest, right, where they can recruit and all of a sudden we're getting this kid. We're getting this kid in. All right. Da-da-da-da-da. You try to blend it, make it work. But no. These schools are doing it the right way. They're getting it done when they are young, right? And they're working hard. Their summer program is incredible. Their AAU program. So that's the secret to their success. All right. Now in the rankings there, like I said, they were as high as number 7. It dropped to 14th, which is strange. I mentioned in my opener how that we don't quite understand the algorithm. But if you think about it, Carruthers actually is being penalized for being a dominant team in their league. their strength of schedule goes down because of the, you know, the 0-14 that Riverdale is, right? That doesn't help at all. It does not help. And they don't have a big roster, to be honest. I think they're suiting up only 9 girls, right? You're suiting up 9 girls. It's not like they have a bench of 15. It's not like football where you can put in a backup quarterback, backup running backs, and right? If you got 9 kids, you're gonna play those 9 kids. All right. So that, I'm really curious to see how that game against Central goes. 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock. I don't know, man. I might even be able to go to that. My mother-in-law is coming into town. I love my mother-in-law. She's awesome. So she's coming into town, be staying with us for the weekend. I'm not using that as an excuse. I do. I'm not kidding. I love my mother-in-law. She's great. So maybe I'll bring my wife and, you know, the one kid that's in the house right now and go watch Central and Carruthers at 6 o'clock. I don't know. We'll see. But anyway, that's a big game. I did promise that I was going to mention some Fresno Pacific, some FPC. Yes, that's what we were known back in the day. Fresno Pacific College, now it's a university. So some basketball guys that I was able to watch on the court, play a lot of pickup games with these guys. Just all good guys, man. Guys that have made their mark in the Central section after playing for Coach John Moore. If you guys know John Moore, was at Fresno Pacific for 5 years before moving to Westmont, just retired. He's like a Hall of Fame guy. He teamed up with the Admonsons and made it far in the Hoop It Up. You guys remember Hoop It Up? That traveling 3-on-3 deal where they set up hoops in the street, and it became a big deal. They actually broadcasted the games live on national television. John Moore was part of that team with the Admonsons, and yeah, they made all the way to the finals. But I mentioned Tim Admonson, Clovis East Central Bullard. He's part of that team. His brother Ty played at Fresno Pacific, winning state titles in Arizona right now, doing a great job. Troy Brown, if you remember that name, actually was never a head coach here, but he's been an assistant for a long time. His kids played at Clovis North. He was an assistant with Tony at Clovis North for lots of years. So Troy Brown was part of that. Johnny Sharp, point guard, man, one of those savvy lefties. He played at Fresno Pacific. He's the girls' high school coach at Madera South right now. And I looked up their record on Max Preps. They're having a good little year. Congrats to Johnny Sharp. The Stallions are 17-5 right now. Donnie Johnson, another one of those legend-type names, was a head coach at Fresno City, women's program for a while. He's kind of one of those legendary playground players, a pickup game legend. And, man, that guy's super competitive. He'd sharpen up those elbows, man. If he didn't like you, look out. He'd give you some business. But, man, that guy pull up from just inside half court. You know, you think the Ball brothers invented that, pulling up from half court, just inside half court. No, man, this guy was doing it in games too, man. Donnie Johnson, great shooter. John Jones, who's now an assistant at Clovis North. He was the head boys coach at Clovis High for a long time. And now is with Tony and his son. Coach was able to coach his sons, Nico and Lucas, right now, who's a sophomore. John Jones, incredible guy. I mean, talk to John. You know, he's very, very willing to talk to you about anything, about basketball, about life, and he really enjoyed his time at Fresno Pacific. So John Jones is there that time. Joey Wells, Clovis West legend, Clovis West Athlete of the Year. He ended up being the head women's coach at Indiana State for 3 years. Wow, Joey. He's an incredible guy too, played with him at Fresno Pacific. And then another guy, a little sleeper, Chris Schultz. He was on the JV team at Fresno Pacific. So was Ken Vossler. They had a JV team back then, but they would play all the junior colleges around here. Biola would have a JV team. Azusa would have a JV team. And Chris was part of that team. And Chris ended up being the head coach at Fresno Christian for, I believe, 6 years. Was also the athletic director there. So just tons and tons of basketball guys. I want to mention Lauren LeBeau, too. Was at Central and is now the girls' coach at Emmanuel. We know Lauren's story very well. But Lauren was there. So just a ton of basketball coaches came out of that era of Fresno Pacific College in the 1990s. We'll talk about that with Ken Vossler at the top of the hour. He's now the head coach at Justin Garza High School. All right. A lot of fun facts there, just a lot of information that I thought you guys would be really, really interested in. Well, I am. I mean, I'm a basketball junkie, so all this stuff is fun for me. Hope you guys enjoy it, too. Coming up after the break, getting a little more of the nitty-gritty about what's going on in the Central section with high school sports with Gabe Camarillo. Talk about wrestling, a little bit more about Carruthers and, you know what's right about the rankings and what's not right, what needs to be tweaked and fixed. Talk about Clovis West program. Buller basketball boys had a big win. Speaking of Coach Tim Admonson, and there's a freshman out there that pumped in a lot of points in their win against Edison last night. So, and of course, like I mentioned, a lot of wrestling talk with Gabe Camarillo coming up after the break on 1430 ESPN. You found us here on 1430 ESPN. I'm your host, Paul Metters. You can follow me on the Twitter machine at Paul Metters, PaulMeadors. You can also find the next guy, man, my producer extraordinaire. I actually feel, I don't know, I feel like Gabe should have a better title than my producer, because you have your own show, Home Field Advantage, 3 to 5, doing an absolutely phenomenal job, Gabe. I've known you for, I don't know, we're going to say 3 years now. Working the beat together, you know, for different types of publications and websites and all that stuff. And yeah, we're like-minded in a lot of ways. Again, you can listen to him on 1430 ESPN, 3 to 5, Monday through Thursday. Gabe, how are you doing, man? I just want to, you know, just say how much I appreciate you, man. Great of a job you are, and how like-minded we are. It's always good to share passions with somebody, and one of our passions is high school sports. And so, you know, when we get together and talk, we could talk for hours and hours about all this stuff.
Yeah, you mentioned at the beginning there how we used to cover the same beat, but for different publications. I consider us once competitors, now compadres. How about that?
All right. Compas. All right, Gabe. So you were at. You know what? Let's start with the Carruthers. So I hope I laid it out okay. I was a little bit nervous that I didn't want to mislead anybody talking about Carruthers and how they're beating opponents. But I never want to talk bad about any other programs or schools or teams for that matter, because we're not about that at all. But I just kind of wanted to present some facts out there and present some inside information that I might have or opinions as well. But I mean, there's lots of layers to these types of stories and to dominant programs in league, right? On one end, it's no fun going into a game that you know you're not going to win. But on the other end, right, you got to give credit to teams when they dominate opponents. So, can you piggyback on anything that I said about Carruthers?
No, you're absolutely right. And the thing about this whole situation is there are different small schools that for some reason are based in Division III, but Carruthers is Division II. And let me explain. So if you look at the Max Preps rankings for Central Section girls basketball, the top six, pretty sure most teams agree in girls basketball, these are the top six. Maybe you have them in a different order, but it's Clovis West, Clovis, Buchanan, St. Joseph, Central, and San Joaquin Memorial. Then you have a group of small schools that are having spectacular seasons, but Menachi, Tehachapi, El Diamante, Orchid Academy, and Sierra Pacific, those are the next five. They're all based in Division III. So those are schools ranked ahead of Carruthers, but because those are based in Division III, they can only go as high as Division II. And so then after the Sierra Pacific at number 11, you have Nipomo, Arroyo Grande, and Carruthers. And these are three schools that are going to Division I. So Carruthers is number 14 in the Central Section, which if this was last year with the old rules, would have put Carruthers in Division II. But because they changed the rules and they instituted base divisions, now this means Carruthers, well, they get the short straw. And that I think is unfair, because what constitutes Carruthers as a base Division II school and schools like Menachi, Tehachapi, El Diamante, and Orchid Academy as base Division III? That's my question.
Yeah, there. And then if you look at school enrollment as well, so I mentioned how they beat Chowchilla, 105-9. Chowchilla has 1,000 kids in their school. Liberty Madera, just under 600. Carruthers, about 700, I believe. So, right, I mean, if you think of as far as student population, they're pretty darn even, right? And what's the other school? Riverdale has a little bit more than you would think as well, hovering around 500. So, right? So, I mean, base divisions, all that stuff is part of the Central Section laws, the bylaws. But, sometimes there has to be a little bit of common sense. My whole thing throughout all this is I believe that there should just be, you're in a division at the beginning of the year, you are in that division no matter what. If they're taking 16 teams in the tournament, you're taking the top 16, right? If you're 17, you're not good enough to make the playoffs. So that, I mean, if I had a choice, that would be what I would like to see, but that's not going to happen this year.
You know what, I've been talking to coaches and they tell me that they don't mind the rules changing, but they really mind it happening a week before playoffs, which is what happened last year. So I talked to Garrett Mantle earlier this week, and he's like, yeah, I'd be okay with them changing the rules, just not right before playoffs, and then it messes everything up. Like, there's some consistency that the coaches want. They don't like the max prep system. I don't know anyone that likes the max prep system. Even maybe some of the athletic directors that voted for this don't like the max prep system anymore, because they're seeing that it's really punishing teams for success. Punishing small schools for success. And a team like Clovis North, which is having a good season on its own, they landed inside my top 15 girls basketball rankings. They're having a good season. They only lost to Central by 3. And this team that lost to Central by 3, a really good Division I program in Central, Clovis North probably could play in Division II and could probably win Division II, because that's where they're currently ranked by Max Preps. Clovis North should be in Division I. Carruthers should be in Division II, but that's not going to happen because the athletic directors, the league of managers, the powers that be, it wasn't the CIF that voted for this. This was your administrators at your respective schools that voted for this. They chose this system, so now we have to live with it.
Oh, absolutely. So we'll see how they perform tonight against Central. That will be interesting. You know, win or lose, whether or not they're going to be up in the rankings or down in the rankings. So Clovis West girls, able to watch them play basketball last night. They only were beating Buchanan, who's a really good team, where they were 18-3 before heading into that game. First half only up by one. Second half they turned it on. You know, I haven't been able to see St. Joseph. I know a lot of people think they got a good team. We're going to be watching them against Clovis soon. That's going to be a game we're going to be looking forward to. But, you know, can anybody beat Clovis West girls this year?
No. And, you know, I typically hesitate to say that because I think every team in the track is so good. I think this is the best track we've seen in years. It's right up there with the Track Girls Basketball League we saw in 2019 and 20 that had four teams in the open division. But having said that, I'm excited to see this Clovis West team battle Clovis, who I think is a number two in the league behind Clovis West. But I still think Clovis West wins that one, and they run the table. I know they have a tough game today at the Sabrina Ionescu Classic at De La Salle. I think they face Marin Catholic this afternoon. So we'll see if they're able to make it 22-0 this afternoon. But after that, then they have the remaining league games. They have dominated every league game except for that one last Friday against Central. Sounds like Atoya Montgomery was in foul trouble. That's why it was only a 12-point win. But the fact that we're saying only a 12-point win with Clovis West tells you everything you need to know about their dominance this season. I think they finish the season perfect, and then they go into the playoffs, and they'll be the heavy favorites to win Division I.
Yeah, when I watch Clovis West girls, there's a couple things that come to mind. Like, you can have a good quarter against them. You could have a good half every once in a while, but it's tough to string four straight good quarters against a team like Clovis West. You got to beat them for four quarters. I do want to mention this, Gabe. I know we didn't mention this off air, but I talked, you know, about Carruthers and how they built the program. I see that happening with the school south of us, Menachi, the girls, right? When I saw them high in the rankings, and at one point I think they had like an 18-0 record, I was like, okay, how are these girls doing it, right? And it just caught my attention. So poking around a bit, seems like they're trying to take the Clovis West, you know, and I know a lot of the track schools have done Little Hoopsters for a long time, but really, really investing into the feeder program. So it sounds like they're doing that at Menachi. And if you look at their roster, I believe five of their six top scorers are all freshmen, and one is the coach's daughter. So I don't know. That might be a school game we're going to have to keep our eye on the next couple years.
Yeah, there are two teams currently with 20 wins in the Central Section, Clovis West and the Menachi Marauders, which have a sick name, by the way. The Marauders is up there with top team names in the Central Section. But this is also one of the top girls basketball teams in the Central Section. Look at their record, 20-2. Tells you part of the story. You mentioned the freshmen. That's another part of the story. And you could say, oh, they haven't faced anybody. They beat a very good Sierra Pacific team on the road by 3, and they hung with Clovis East on January 5th. That was a very good Clovis East team that got their transfers back, Gabby Ramos and Haley Duvall, only lost by 13. So you look at the strength of schedule, you might think they play in the East Yosemite League. That's not very strong. They did schedule strong non-conference, and look what it's doing. It's paying off. They're probably going to run the table in their league, and they'll be a team to watch in Division II playoffs.
Yeah, boys basketball. I mentioned how Bullard's playing pretty good. Never count out the Tim Edmondson squad. And, you know, they don't have the firepower that they've had in the past. And, you know, you've had Tim on your show. He's been on my show. And he just loves coaching. He just loves this group especially. He says they're all hard workers. And, you know, some of that is coach speak, right? We hear that. The kids are hard workers. They buy in. But it feels a little different when I'm talking to Tim about it. Like, and I've seen a couple practices as well. Those kids, they want to learn. They want to get better. They want to be in the right position at the right time. They're not super skilled, let's be honest, except there's a dude that scored 33 points, Javance Coleman. Yep, it is Javance Coleman Jr. His father is well-known throughout the Central Valley. He scored 33 points in last night's game. You know, and then that sets up a huge matchup against San Joaquin Memorial on Wednesday at Bullard at 6:30, battle of 4-0s. We mentioned the winning streak that San Joaquin Memorial has. I don't know if Bullard has the juice, man, to keep over them because the Panthers are rolling right now. But anyway, I think it's going to be a great atmosphere and a fun game to watch.
I'm so excited for the future of Bullard basketball because of the freshman you mentioned, Javance Coleman Jr. And they have a bunch of role guys, too, that fill their roles really, really well, like Nathaniel Bindiola, Jaleel Jackson, Mark Williams. I know we saw them for the first time at the Save Mart Center. They looked young. They were going against a faster team in Clovis North. But the most impressive thing to me isn't those 4 wins in CMAC play. Those are really impressive. But the most impressive thing was what they did earlier this month against Clovis North. You were at that game. You reported that they were leading after halftime. I saw on Twitter that they were actually leading after 3 quarters as well against the Clovis North team that really overmatched them at the Save Mart Center just a month prior. So for Bullard to be leading Clovis North, which we both have inside the top 3 in the Central Section, for Bullard to be leading Clovis North by 3 or by after 3 quarters, that tells me that this team has grown throughout the season. They have faced some tough competition at the Mission Prep Tournament and at the Modesto Christian Tournament, and it's paying off in league play. This is a team you don't want to see in the playoffs because I think that this team is young, very fun, very athletic, and they're led by a very confident freshman by the name of Javance Coleman, who, as you mentioned, the son of a Bulldog legend.
Yeah, absolutely. Wrestling. Gabe, you were there. I was a little bit jealous. I wasn't able to go. So Thursday. So first of all, I'd like for you to describe the atmosphere. Were you able to get there early as well? How was parking? You know, when you walked in the door, what did you see?
Well, I was smart because I parked very far away. I knew that it was going to be a very, very big spectacle. And I was talking about this with my contemporaries at ABC 30, Alec Nolan and Stephen Hicks. And I was thinking, is that the best high school sporting event in the Central Valley? Think about it, right? What high school sporting events do we have here that could be relatable to it? You have the Cylinder Arena games, and that's always fun, but it's not packed like it is inside the Buchanan or Clovis High Gym. You have the Central Section Football Championships, but those are kind of spread out, you know? There's not a lot of – I wish they would have it at one site sometimes. For soccer, those matches can get really full, and we know how big Stanger Ridley was last year in the D1 final, but – I challenge you to give me a better sporting event, not just a game, not just the competition on the mat, but overall the experience. Give me one that's better than the big one, which is what happened earlier this week. You said on Thursday I was able to be there. I saw some of the matches. Paul, these two wrestling programs have accounted for the last 11 state championships. These are the best two wrestling programs in the state, and they meet once a year, and that's why it's a big deal. This past Thursday, the theme of the night was Top Gun. So you had the Buchanan wrestling team come out in their Top Gun style Navy pilot jackets. Clovis, the student section there was amped up. Buchanan student section was amped up. Before the actual matches started, there was a cheerleading performance from both schools. There was a choir performance. They flew kites that looked like jets. There were pyrotechnics. There was fireworks indoors. It was insane. And the whole time I was thinking, this is high school sports at its very best. So the big one, Buchanan won, yes, 38-18. They have a big duel coming up against Poway, which is another highly ranked state wrestling program. But I wonder what means more to the Buchanan Bears. Probably, they're probably equal, right? The state championships in Bakersfield and the big one, I feel like both are equally as important to the Bears, and both are just as rewarding for all the hard work that these wrestlers go through behind the scenes to get it done on the mat in front of their friends, family, and classmates.
And if you haven't been to one of those events, I highly recommend it. The first time I went, I knew what to expect, but what I witnessed like absolutely blew my mind. So let me try to explain how the matches start. So I did mention that there's just a center stage, and it's smoky in there, and obviously the lights are dim, and there's a spotlight. And so there's a cougar, you know, the blow-up cougar and the bear. And the two wrestlers come out. They announce them. I mean, it's like Ivan Drago and Rocky, right, coming out for that final match.
And it's so smoky because of all the pyrotechnics. Like,
yes, that's it. And so both wrestlers come out, and they're looking all bad, right? They're ready to go. It's like go time. And so once they announce their name, they literally run onto the mat, go to the center, shake the referee's hand, and boom. Right. Then they get after it. There's no like waiting around or anything. Right. Like when you go to a basketball game, they announce the starters. Then they go back to the huddle and they say, go team, go. Right. And then they break. And then the referees take some time. No, there's no messing around. Right. There's no lollygagging. You are getting right after it. And the matches are short and sweet and intense. And even the student sections know the point system. I'm not good at point system. I don't know how you earn 1 point or 2 points. I know what a takedown is. I know what a pin is. I know those things, but the student sections know. They know the rules. And when they think one of their classmates, right, or one of their teammates is supposed to get 2 points, they're yelling two, two, two. And then once they hit it, boom, then everybody explodes. It's incredible. And to me, that just embodies competition and high school sports. And it's an incredible event that, you know, everybody out there should at least try to witness. Even if you don't know anything about wrestling, right, take a couple hours out of your life, get there early, like Gabe said, next year, and go check that out.
Yeah, one thing I want to mention, the walk-up music. It's always interesting to hear what wrestlers use as their walk-up music. You hear everything. I heard, you know, different rappers, and then one kid came out to Beethoven. And I'm like, Beethoven? I don't want to wrestle that kid, because if that kid has coming out to Beethoven, he's at a different level of locked in. And you know what, that kid got a pin. He pinned the other kid in the first round. So Beethoven kid, I'm forgetting the name right now, who had Beethoven, he's a wrestler, he's a dude.
No, that's a high level IQ move right there, man. You're getting in the other kid's head. You're like, what, this kid's coming out to some sonata in D minor, right? Coming out and pinning them. That's awesome. That's awesome. All right, so it's pretty much a foregone deal, right, that Buchanan, I mean, is their number twos could probably win a state championship or at least commit. So it's probably just a foregone conclusion. I know you mentioned you got that big match against Poway, but, you know, for Coach Troy Tirapelli to keep those kids, you know, motivated, you know, if there's one guy that you want in your corner, it's definitely, you know, one of the Tirapellis. But, you know, it's probably a foregone conclusion that Buchanan is going to win. It's just built different than, you know, say football or basketball or baseball.
Yeah, they beat the number three team in the state, like I said, 38-18. This would be, if Buchanan wins this year, this would be their seventh straight state championship, but they're still chasing Clovis. Clovis holds the California record with 13 state wrestling championships. So I do want to give some major props to Troy Tirapelli, James Gambrell for putting together the event. And Clovis does a fantastic job whenever they host it, and that's the thing that I love. It gets bigger and better year after year because each school motivates the other. You know, I know Clovis saw what happened on Thursday, and now they're thinking, we have to get some fireworks inside the Clovis Hyatt Gym. We have to make it better than the year before, and that's why this event is so successful and definitely, as you said, Paul, a must-watch if you are a Central Valley high school fan.
All right, good job by you, my friend. All right, what do you got going this weekend? You know what, really quick, let's talk. Got a couple minutes here. Well, you're the producer. You can take me a commercial whenever you darn well please. But all right, Bills, Bengals. Who do you got?
All right, so I am a very noted Joe Burrow fan, but ooh, I also love the Central Valley, so I got to back my guy, Fireball native Josh Allen. I would be happy whoever wins, honestly, as long as they beat the Chiefs. I cannot stand the Chiefs. So in my heart, I want to say Bills, but my mind's telling me the Bengals are going to win because the Bills haven't been playing that well lately. If Josh Allen has a bounce back game, I know he had 3 turnovers against the Dolphins. If he has a bounce back game, I could see the Bills winning, especially because they're at home, I think. But the Bengals have Joe Burrow. They have been there, done that. They know the recipe to go to the Super Bowl. I think that's very important because the Bills, they haven't won an AFC championship yet. The Bengals have, and I actually value that kind of stuff. So I got Bengals.
So that's tomorrow at 12 o'clock. So, Gabe, you used the word if Josh Allen has a bounce back. Well, I'm going to flip that. I'm saying will. All right. So I'm just changing your syntax there. So we're going with will. All right. We're going to take about 10 seconds for this one, but Jaguars and Chiefs, obviously you're not rooting for the Chiefs.
I don't want them to win, but they're going to win. Okay. This should be Chiefs versus Chargers. This would have been a much better game if it was Chargers versus Chiefs, but the Chargers can't hold 27-point leads, unfortunately.
Well, their coach doesn't know how to coach a second half. All right, Eagles, Giants, spread 7.5 right now. You know, I'm a Cowboys fan. We'll get to in just a second, but I don't like both those teams, so I really don't care.
You want there to be a sinkhole below Lincoln Financial Field tonight? Is that what you want?
That's right. That's right.
I got the
Netflix
Eagles
special.
I got the Eagles. I think Jalen Hurts is special. He is one of the MVP candidates, although I think Mahomes has that award locked up. But Hurts has had a very good season. I think he's healthy, so I got Eagles.
All right. Yeah, I like the Eagles too in that one. Cowboys, Niners. Everyone's talking about that. It's dominated the airwaves. Obviously here in the central section and up north as well. Cowboys fan, Niners favored by 4 points. That's tomorrow at 3:30. That's the marquee game on Fox. All right. I'm pretty sure what you're going to say. You know, for me, my heart says Cowboys. I think the Niners are going to win. I think they're a team of destiny. When they got McCaffrey, that's next level for me. Their defense is obviously lights out. Right. Obviously Brock Purdy. You know, a lot of talk about him. Is he gonna continue this great performance, though? That's the question for me.
I know a lot of coaches who are Cowboy fans. I know a lot of coaches who are Niner fans. So I'm going to upset somebody here when I say that the Cowboys are going to pull off the upset. I think the Cowboys have the defense to stop Brock Purdy. I'm not a big Kool-Aid drinker of Brock Purdy. A lot of people around me telling me he's the second coming of Kurt Warner, of Tom Brady. Pump the brakes here. There was a reason why he was in the 7th round. There's a reason why he was Mr. Irrelevant. I think we find out that reason tomorrow afternoon. I got the Cowboys beating the Niners, and they'll face another NFC East team in the conference championship.
All right, well, let's get him on the edge, and let's see if he can step in the pocket and make some good throws. I do know this, though, Gabe. Brock Purdy, the hype train is real. You know, I'm a big sports card collector. Apparently, there was a Brock Purdy autograph that was a one-of-one that was worth, like, $50, like, 3 months ago, sold for $10,000 on eBay. So the hype is real on this guy.
Yeah, and I understand why the hype is there, because he's undefeated as a starter. But the Cowboys defense showed something on Monday night, and that Cowboys team overall showed something that I didn't think was there. I actually picked the Buccaneers to beat the Cowboys in the first round. But once I saw how dominant Dallas was, I think this could be the year, Paul. And I don't want to get your hopes up. I don't want to get Cowboy fans' hopes up, but this could be the year where Dak Prescott puts the narrative to rest that he doesn't win big games.
Well, we'll find out. You never know which Dak you're going to get. All right. Again, good job by you, Gabe. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks. Appreciate you.
All right. Thank you, Paul.
All right. Coming up after the break, Coach Ken Vossler, the boys basketball coach at Justin Garza, is going to be here at First String Sports on 1430 ESPN.
Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. That's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Welcome back to hour number 2 of the Central Valley Sports Report. I'm your host, Paul Meaders. You can follow me on Twitter at Paul Meaders, PaulMeaders. And I could tell that this next segment is going to be a lot of fun. It is going to be awesome. We're sitting right next to Ken Vossler, who's a head boys basketball coach at Justin Garza High School. First year of varsity experience. We're going to get into all that stuff in a little bit, but I've known Kenny. I know you as Kenny, right?
Yes.
Ken is very official. I know he's Kenny. Kenny Vossler, right? It just flows, man. It's a good name. I've known him since the 1990s. I mentioned in my earlier segment how Fresno Pacific College was a hotbed, man, in the early 90s for basketball. Going back and look at the records weren't that great, but it just felt like it was a basketball community, right? We'd stay up late and play pickup games all the time. I wasn't on the team, but, you know, a lot of pickup games. And, You know, a lot of good players and a lot of good coaches came out of that time, and Ken was one of them. And we're going to get into some of those stories, but I'm looking here, Ken. There's a picture that one of our mutual friends texted me. Says, hi, say hi to Kenny, yep. You know, one of the fun yep. guys, right? There's a picture of us with – there's nine of us total here at Fresno Pacific College. We're all dressed up, right? It's before some type of a formal event, right? It was a Mennonite school, so we couldn't get too crazy.
No.
Right? We couldn't get too crazy. But there's nine of us. There's Ken Vossler. I'm in the picture. There's a bunch of other, you know, basketball players as well. And one of the first things that jumps out to me is, you know, what happened to our hair?
Yeah,
right.
Every time I look at that picture with my kids, they're trying to figure out, hey, everyone there has hair. You're not in that picture.
Yeah, which one is you, Dad?
Yeah, which one am I? And I'm showing them this. Nah, no way.
Well, you look like a 90s guy. You kind of have that 90s flavored tie, and you know, your hair's, you know, nicely groomed, you know, a little bit cut over the ear. So, yeah, you're a pretty handsome man back there. But now look at us.
We all kind of just mimic that 90210 Melrose Place type look, right? That's what that whole picture looks like. Everyone kind of has that same hairstyle, that same appearance.
Well, we tried. What? Chestnut Avenue, that's where the official address, you know, Melrose Place, Chestnut Avenue.
1717.
1717, 1717. So, yeah, that was just a fun time back there. You know, at Fresno Pacific. And, you know, I've watched you grow as a coach as well. And now you're at Justin Garza High School. And I feel real privileged that you came here to First String Sports to hang out with me and talk, because you got the little guardians going on, right? You had to leave the little guys to come here.
I couldn't leave the little guys. We left the older age group. So just wanted to make sure I had the opportunity to come on the show with you. I wanted to, you know, get on here and talk about Justin Garza basketball and kind of reminiscent of some old times. So I didn't really leave anybody.
All right, gotcha. All right, so the gym's not burning down.
There you go.
Right now.
There you go.
All right, so just give us a little bit of where the program is at now. You know, we talked to Coach Joseph Ferris, who I know you're close to, the football coach. It's a new high school, new campus. It's right next to Central High. No seniors in the school. You know, you guys have been thrown into the CMAC. So just talk about the team right now and what the roster looks like and where you guys are at.
You know, everybody really tries to focus in on our roster. I mean, with no seniors, of course, we're very young. But there's a lot of young players playing on other teams in the CMAC, right? But the difference is every single player on our team is on their 20th varsity game ever. You know, there's no returners. There's no one that's been there before. So we're building seniors now. We're building leaders now kind of as we're thrown into it. So kind of the roster makeup, I mean, we do have four freshmen playing, you know, varsity basketball. We have six sophomores and then three juniors. And when you look at that, you know, there are some juniors. But those juniors really, I mean, their birth dates, they're younger than most of the sophomores. You know what I mean? So, like, just the physicality and just building that kind of experience and whatnot is kind of challenging. But, you know, being thrown into the CMAC, as you said, like, that's the standard that's in front of us. So the feelings are kind of out of the place. That's the standard. And how are we going to rise to that standard?
And coaches deal with this all the time, right? It's like, and you preach this to your players. You know, you're going to go through some adversity. You're just going to have to play the game in front of you. You could control what you have to control. Probably things that you got to be reminding yourself as well.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we had a year to really prepare for this, but nothing prepared you for it. Like, it was kind of all talk, all preparation, getting kids together, going through things. But once it's here and you're kind of, you know, in the thick of things, if you will, every single thing you've learned in coaching or as a man, as a father, is just thrown at you at once. And at the end of the day, you know, Little Guardians this morning, it was such a beautiful thing to walk into. 7:30 after a pretty tough one last night, every single player is there ready to go. Gym set up as I'm walking in. Kids are excited to meet these little guys. And it just kind of is a very refreshing thing to know that, like, whatever we have going on, you know, our guys are getting the message. They're there for future guardians. They're there with, you know, smiles on their face because they're going through the adversity. They're the ones that have to fight through me. They have to fight through expectations. They have to fight through, you know, not having initial success, if you will. And they're the ones that are putting everything on the line. And for them to just to come in there, be ready to rock and roll this morning, have energy, because like those kindergarten or first graders, there's like 60 of those little guys running around. They don't care.
Correct. They don't know any different.
Yes. They're looking at our guys like, oh, my God, look at that guy. Look at that.
Yeah. Can you dunk? Can you dunk?
The whole thing, right? You got the rims down at 6 feet, so even I can still dunk on that. And it's just it's really refreshing and needed.
Talking with Ken Vossler, the head coach at Justin Garza High School. So take us back a little bit through the process. So school opens up last year, right? And you were the you're the director of sport, the head coach of the program. So did you have a freshman team, a JV team? Were all these guys on varsity on that team?
You know, that's one of the things, like, you're preparing for it, but until you're there, just logistically, a lot of things are out of your control, out of the district's control. Last year, we didn't have facilities. Last year, we really didn't know, you know, at the kickoff, like, how many kids were even coming to Justin Garza, if you will. So in the kickoff, thank you. Yes, go Garza. In the kickoff of things, we had one team. So we had so many players come out and try out for that one team, and we kept like 19, you know, players, and we built it up. We were we played a JV preseason schedule, if you will. And then we were, you know, an honorary member of the CMAC, but we played at the, you know, the freshman. We played a couple JV teams inside of that league. So just really started off as like a frosh team, if
Got
you
it.
Will.
And now the CMAC.
Yeah, the original plan wasn't maybe, I think, to go to varsity this year, but like that's kind of where we went to. And
here you are.
Here we are.
So I want people to me, right? So we broadcasted a few games this year. We actually did a Justin Garza football game. So you're sitting in the press box up there at Collegian Stadium. You're able to see what's going on. So just kind of explain the campus, what it looks like. And you do have your own gym, right?
That we might do, be
a misconception. You're sharing it with Central, but that's not true.
No, this year, like, the gym has been there for the entire year. So once again, just going back to the Little Guardians, just having, you know, our gym doors open for the community. So if you know where the Collegian Stadium is, we're kind of right there in the middle of the stadium and then Glacier Point Middle School. So our campus is built kind of on the corner of Ashland and Grantland is the footprint. So that, you know, that long parking lot there, our gym is on the other side of like an access road, if you will. So really looks like Collegian's kind of a, you know, attached to our school, if you will.
Okay.
So that's the facility, you know, that is shared between Justin Garza and Central is Collegian Stadium.
Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, you're sharing the football field, but you have your own separate gym from Central High. Thinking about your program and thinking into the future, I know it's hard for you, Ken. I know you're grinding through a lot of things with this program, but what you constantly have to preach to your kids, what? Like, hey, you guys are young. You know, we're going to take our lumps. What is the constant message that you and your staff are trying to instill in the kids?
You know, the message is very intentional and very clear, and it works for us. Like, we don't want to be a program where we're going in after games going, hey, good job, guys. Way to try today. Hey, we're young. We'll get better. I mean, the nice thing is we have an expectation to compete. We have an expectation to win. The message is really based off of our, you know, our guiding principles, our core principles. Like, we talk daily about, you know, maximum effort. One of the things going into the CMAC, you know, very high level league is like teams there are already sprinting marathons. We're just at the starting line. And like without, you know, maximum effort, playing hard and getting these kids to understand like just how fast, how hard they have to play. So we're finally kind of past that point. So now we're really focused on like, you know, continuous growth. We got to get a little bit better every day. We got to get stronger every day. We got to become a better team every day. And that's that constant, you know, people use buy-in, I use believe-in. We need to believe in what we're doing and believe in what we're building and believe that we stick together, that there are going to be times ahead of us that's not going to be quite what we're maybe going through right now.
And that process for you took a while as well. So you've had a few coaching stops, right? So, you know, again, we mentioned how we're a product of Fresno Pacific College in the early 1990s. Did you get into coaching right away? I know you've coached at Liberty Madera, Sierra Pacific, but what's your coaching?
You know, there was, like, when I left Fresno Pacific, I went to Sac State, and I was there for a semester, and it just wasn't a real good fit for me. So when I came back to Fresno State, one of the guys in those pictures, Mike Neal, he was a women's assistant coach at Fresno State. So I kind of just hung around the gym with him. That's when, you know, Tarek and all the boys were there, and you're just kind of in the gym and kind of a practice dummy at sometimes, but getting a chance to hang out in the coach's room. That's when it really goes on me. Like, I think I was always kind of a coach as a player because I saw the game very well. And a lot of coaches that you probably talked to, some had great success in college and saw the game well. Some may not have had great success, but they had that kind of that mind and that understanding for it. So I just started to say, like, this is what I want to do. But life took me in a whole total different path. I moved down to the Bay Area. You know, you're in sales and other things. And then when I came back to Fresno, I just decided, okay, we're gonna go this route. So my first, like, head coaching job, I was the JV head coach at McLean High School. So that was my first, like, real, like, okay, I'm coaching. I got to work under, you know, legendary coach Tim Natsos. So even there, it's kind of you pick up a few things. But I was just out there just trying to love the kids. When you talk about Fresno Pacific, one of the things I took from the staff there was just the assistants was Coach Moore's wife, Rachel Moore. Yeah. I mean, she just came and she gave cookies and she just showed just so much love to kids that needed it. And at McLean High School, I had a lot of kids that were just trying to survive life. And I remember, you know, a 24-year-old kid focused and wanting to focus on basketball in the gym, getting better. I kind of gravitated to, oh, my gosh, you need help. How can I help you out a little bit? And I think that really kind of changed my career. Okay, now I want to teach, too, because I want to have some more impact on kids' lives if I can. I want to be a better role model. From there, I ended up at Central High School. That's another connection to Fresno Pacific. Coach LeBeau was there the year before I came in. And no, he actually was there the first year I was there. He graduated my second year there. And I knew of him. We were in two total different levels, two totally different places. But when I went in and I applied at Central and got hired, I mean, that's what really jump-started the coaching career. Because you can think all you want to know about coaching until you see it done a different way, which many of the coaches in the valleys are doing. It's like, oh, my gosh, there's a whole different book. Oh, my gosh, there's this piece, there's this piece, there's this piece. And he did a really good job developing a staff. If you think about that staff at Central High School, there are a lot of coaches from, you know, Greg Streets had success there at Central. Josh Henderson, you know, Valley Championship, Hanford West, Carruthers, Al Alvarado at Sanger right now. We had a very good staff, and we probably all learned more about the backside or behind the doors part of coaching, organizing the little hoopsters, fundraising, all those little pieces. And he did a great job of letting us just soak that stuff in and really preparing us for running a program. When I was ready to kind of leave Central and wanted to be a head coach, you know, that time comes where you go, hey, I can do this, I can do this, I can do this. I wasn't really, I don't know how to say it, I wasn't really like looking for a job. I just, hey, this one's open, I'll go apply for it, I got it, let's go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I ended up at Liberty Madera Ranches, which was a great place for me. Little history homework on there. I mean, they hadn't won a league game in like four years.
Yeah.
You know, the football program was kind of rocking and rolling. The basketball was kind of still building. We were able to kind of turn that around. Year one, I thought, oh, it's going to be easy, but we went 0-10 in league. And now all of a sudden I'm questioning everything that we're doing. Am I doing it right? But by year two, year three, we're in the semifinals. You know, 6-4 in league, and it just really was something that shaped even going into Garza, that it might not be easy year one, but if we continue the path and do it right, we can build the program up kind of like we did there at Liberty. Life, kids, you know, need for other things was the big change to go to Sierra Pacific. Sierra was a great place for me. I don't think I would have left Sierra Pacific if not for the fact, that some of my sons, I have four sons, they were going to be in the same league as Sierra Pacific, and they were not going to come to Sierra Pacific, so I didn't want to coach against my sons. I was there for 5 years, won a couple league championships there, and kind of was the second guy, right? The original coach was the coach for the first 7 years. So then I came in the next one. A lot of times when you come in after it's been built, you can find some success, right? Because he went through not having a gym. He went through all these things. So Sierra was, like I said, a really good place. I left a very good group of young men. Yeah. The coach there has done a great job taking them to the next level, but I still have a big heart for the senior class that's there right now. I went and actually watched them play the other night. It's nice just seeing them and coming up, you know, hey, coach, and just knowing that you kind of left an impact, whatever it was, with the kids while you were there.
Yeah.
And now here I am, Justin Garza.
And that's like I mentioned, that's been fun for me to watch you evolve as a coach and following your career from a distance a little bit.
Yep.
A few texts here and there, we're running each other in different spots. But you know, I remember you know your time at Fresno Pacific, and here's this 6'4" dude that's coming in. You're kind of double pumping some dunks from the baseline and kind of a little bit of goofy form. I can be honest, a little bit goofy form shooting three, but somehow you would make them. And you know, you had some good games against Fresno City. You know, a couple 40 burgers and, you know, 50 spots against some of these schools. And, you know, that was a really good time. But I think you mentioned, too, that you learned something pretty valuable from Coach John Moore, right? And you had a vision of what your varsity career was going to look like. You know, you say varsity, right? You know, with a big-time, you know, team at Fresno Pacific. And those are some good teams, man. But you got humbled pretty quick, didn't you? And there's something that Coach Moore specifically asked you kind of – give you a mentality that you still carry today, don't you?
Yeah, he might not even realize that he really did shape my coaching career with something that was off the court. So to kind of fill in a blank quickly, when I was a freshman there, they had kind of like, I think it was around like when like Kareem played on a freshman team when he was at UCLA. There used to be like freshman teams, you know, and then kind of the varsity team at colleges. So we had a freshman team at Fresno Pacific.
Yeah.
So it gave time for a lot of the freshmen to get experience that weren't playing much on you know, with the varsity squad. And our freshman class was loaded.
We had guys in that picture, right?
Yeah. We had 7'2" Martin Rentsäkits.
Yeah, that's right.
Sweden or something. Donnie Moore, you know, 6'10" kid from Lake Isabella. We would play all the local JCs, Fresno City, Modesto JC. And we had a lot of success against those teams. And then we would play all the league teams kind of before our varsity team. So I was a pretty good freshman basketball player for Fresno Pacific, like you said. And then coming into like your post meetings, your season meetings, you know, first question, you know, Coach Moore asks is, you know, what do you see yourself doing to help us at the varsity level? And me being a, you know, 18-year-old kid, I'm just thinking, oh, okay, well, if I'm scoring, you know, whatever amount of points here and getting rebounds here, I told him something like, yeah, I think I'm going to redshirt and then get a little stronger and come back and, you know, I'll be like a 20-10 guy for you guys. I just remember this kind of look from him and his assistants like, okay, yeah, not that you don't have the ability maybe to do that, but you kind of prodded a little bit more. Well, what can you do to help us now? And I gave him the same answer. And then as a, you know, gentleman, he just said, oh, thank you, man. You know, it's been great. Excited to have you back in the gym. We'll get to work, right? And I remember leaving that meeting and going, like, something was off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You just kind of felt it. And then you're kind of thinking about, what did I say? Kind of like this interview. If we did it again, the second one would be much better. and I remember it just kind of eating away and eating away. And there was an assistant like named Alan Bruce. He was an ex-player. He kind of was our –
he was a goggles guy, too.
Yes, yes.
You always have to have a goggles guy.
Yes. And he just kind of said, you know, you're one of our better practice guys. Because when you say 6'4", I mean, there were some dudes, you know, Greg Zeffolato, just blanked out, Rich Kamunga. All these guys, like, that's who I was guarding in practice. And he said, you're a great energy guy. You're a great practice guy. That's what he wanted to hear. I'm going to make everybody else better in practice. I'm going to hit the weight room, work harder in practice. I'm going to earn my spot in practice. He doesn't care how many points you score. And that's when the light kind of went off, like, oh, my gosh, I missed the answer. I missed the moment. I missed the window. So you talk about some of those coaches that came out of Fresno Pacific. A lot of them had great college careers. They really did. They were great college players. I'm kind of the opposite of that. I think I had potential to be a good college player, but I didn't understand what the coaches wanted at the time. I was thinking stats. I was thinking this and that. But they just wanted somebody to say, hey, man, I'm going to earn that jersey. I'm going to make the team better. I'm going to do whatever you need me to do.
And I think that's translated to you as a coach as well, right? There's value in the team. There's value from, you know, players 6 through 12, right?
Yes.
Don't take yourself lightly. And I think, you know, we talk a lot about the superstars and points and stats and all that stuff is great, but there's value in everybody in the team, right?
Yes.
And when you figure that out, that can make a great team, and it makes great for great people as well.
It does. I mean, just to get kids to buy in and understand that story, and they kind of look at me and be like, well, you were pretty good. I saw some stats. I saw some. I go, yeah, I was. But, like, what we need is this piece, because we need to be the best version of ourselves. We're not all going to go out and score 20 tonight. But we can all defend. We can all hustle. We can all have energy. We can all figure out ways to make those people around us better. I think a lot of the coaches do focus on those guys as well. It's not like just because you had success at the college that you're not. But I think I am able to reach those guys a little bit more, especially those that maybe have a little bit of talent. How can we maximize your talent? How can we get you to understand what your role might be and then expand on that role by working a little bit harder, whether it be before practice, after practice, in the summer, and really trying to get those guys rallied around understanding that, yeah, where we are, if you think about it as a program, we need guys to understand that piece. How can I help us be better? Right now, tomorrow, the next day, the next week.
And, you know, you being what? How close are you to 50 years old? What are we
working on?
I'm just saying it takes a while for some people to figure that out, some coaches.
The
stops along the way have definitely helped, right? You grab a little bit of peace. You talk to the best coaches. You talk to the Wahlbergs, the Amundsens. You talk to anybody, whatever sport as well. They're taking chunks from their whole career. They're remembering things that their coaches said to them, too. Those things are still pretty fresh from 30, 40 years ago.
Yes.
Right? Those things
are
fresh. The recall
is amazing
with coaches. Right? And then you're in the moment coaching. You're like, ooh, I can go a couple different ways with this kid.
Yep.
Right? I could destroy him.
Yeah.
Right? Easy. It's easy to destroy a kid. Right? Or I could pump him up and make him feel. And so coaches are faced with those moments all the time, aren't they?
They are. And it's just when you're in that moment, especially, like, people like to say, like, kids these days are a little bit different than 10 years ago and 10 years ago as far as how they respond to coaching. But that's true. 50 years ago, they're different. I think it's our job to understand what motivates a kid. I think it's our job to understand, like, how much of that coaching you just alluded to that they can take. And when you're in that moment, all you can do is kind of rely on your experience and also the relationship that you've established with your players and the understanding that, you know, when I look frustrated or when we're kind of in one of those moments, I think my guys, or I hope they understand, like, I want you to be better because I don't think we're getting everything that you can be out of there. I understood what I was in for, especially year one. I'm not for this 20-win season all the time. Like, I knew what we were getting into. Each win that we have, we celebrate the win. So it's not for me right now, but I want just the best, you know, that those kids can be. And that's where my frustration comes in, because when you're maybe having feelings of being a little overwhelmed or whatever it is, we're not getting quite the best out of kids.
Yeah.
And they take it like we're angry or criticizing them, but I need your A game because I want you to shine. I want you to be the best version of yourself today.
All good stuff. Ken, we got to make this a podcast or something, man. Always enjoy talking with you. We've had some great memories of Fresno Pacific College, stuff that we maybe could get into. You know, we played a lot of Tecmo Bowl back in the game, right? Back in the day, we used to have tournaments and, you know, who fight over who got Bo Jackson or Barry Sanders and, you know, go make runs to get some chocolate milk and crazy stuff like that.
Yeah, those days seem like a while ago, but they're so fresh when you think about them.
They are fresh.
I mean, the Tecmo Bowl days were fun. Chocolate milk were fun.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think I've formed a really good friend group from that. And then, like you said, maybe with the text or every year at Sullivan Arena or at this game or seeing you up in the booth and coming and visiting, I have a lot of good friends that maybe not – a part of my everyday life, but that we can go back to those times and just kind of reminisce. It's pretty neat.
I agree. It's really neat. And there's one more guy, too, that I didn't mention that I actually had on my list. There's one more guy that didn't play basketball at that time was at Fresno Pacific, intramural legend, our commissioner, Ryan Toss.
Yes.
Ryan Toss was there, man. That guy could fill it up too, man. That guy's a really good athlete from Emmanuel, Fresno Pacific. So, Ken, always great to run into you. You're doing a great job at Garza High. I know it's tough, and you know the scores don't reflect what you're doing, but I can attest that you're doing a good job. And in the future, I can't wait to see the fruits of your labor.
There you go. All fruits right. of the kids' labors.
Yeah, there you yep. go. All right, and you got a lot to do with that as well. So that's Ken Vosser, head coach, Justin Garza High School. All right, we're bringing in Jackson Young from Fresno, from Clovis West High School. He's our 1430 ESPN Student Athlete of the Week. Coming up after the break on 1430 ESPN. Had a great conversation with Ken Vosler. I mean, just a good guy, man. And, you know, he's the head coach at Justin Garza. And I didn't mention the record. I think they're 7-14. And they may or may not win a game in the CMAC, right? You're playing against San Joaquin Memorial. Singer's got a good team. We mentioned Bullard. They may or may not win a game. However, man, the foundation's in place. I think they got the right guy for that job. You know, he's figured a lot of things out along the way. And, you know, a team with no seniors, what'd he say, three juniors and the rest are sophomore and freshman, you throw into the CMAC. That's pretty tough sledding. So you can go back and listen. If you missed that interview, a lot of good insight into that or any of the other interviews, just go to 1430 ESPN Fresno website, go to podcast under that. You can find all the shows here, all the shows on 1430 ESPN. Pick a day, and you can listen to it commercial free on those shows. So for our last segment, bottom of hour number two, we got Jackson Young. He's a junior guard for Clovis West. Played varsity as a freshman, man. That's pretty rare. If you're playing varsity as a freshman, a high-level program, you're something special. And this kid certainly is. So this year they are 21-2, coming off an 80-40 win over Buchanan. In that game, Jackson had 11 points, only played probably less than half the game. I was at that one. But last year, that incredible team that they had, 31-2, and the year before that, you know, a few games missed because of COVID, 21-5. So add all that together, right, using my Common Core math skills that I got, 73-9. And this guy is definitely a winner, sharpshooter. He's a big game shooter as well. I've seen it with my own eyes. So, Jackson, first of all, thanks for coming. Really appreciate you.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. And you came straight from the Little Hoopsters program. Yeah. So Coach Vosser, Justin Garza, came from his Low Guardians, right? They all have kind of different names. But you came straight from that. So what does that look like? Which kids are you coaching? Because that's – when you're a Golden Eagle, man, you're helping on Saturdays. That's ingrained into the program. But what grade are you coaching?
Well, I got kindergartners and first graders, so 6 and 7-year-olds, sometimes 5. And there's a lot more kids this year because of the season we had last year. So every team's kind of full. It's fun.
How many – okay, so you're a coach of what, like 10 kids?
10, yeah.
So 10 kids on the team, and they're running out there crazy. The rim is low, right? The rim is super low, so they can at least, like, try to throw it up. Do you got some kids that are out there to just grab the basketball and just start running with it?
Oh, yeah. No, everything you think about, there's something for it. Like, there are kids shooting it underhand. There are kids not even putting the ball on the floor, just running around like it's football. Kids tackling each other, hitting each other, you know, it's so funny.
It's controlled chaos.
Yeah, exactly. Couldn't put it anywhere any better, but it's fun to watch. I remember being that age and learning, so you put everything in perspective, and it's like you're doing it for them, and it's fun.
And what do they call you?
They call me Coach J, Coach Jackson, you know.
Yeah.
Anything.
Right? And when you get there, are they just like running to you and jumping on you and doing all that crazy stuff? Like, I know kindergarten, first grade, man, they could be a wild bunch.
Some kids do. It really just depends on the kid's personality. There are some kids who are still to this day, week three, that are afraid to come on the court unless the coach comes and gets them. They'll stand with their mom and kind of be shy. But there are some kids who just, you know, they got that personality where you know they're going to be an athlete one day. They're running around, you know. Finding a basketball and shooting on any court, even if it's not theirs. So.
And that's one thing that is great about Little Hoopsters. Obviously, it gets the kids active, and you know, but I think the coaches identify pretty young, like who's an athlete, right? Mm-hmm. And like who could dribble a basketball already. You could tell at a young age. So, what are your you are a basketball kid through and through. You are the son of a coach. Your dad's Jeff Young, and I've gotten to know Jeff over the years as his time as assistant coach at Clovis West. But you know that gym well, right?
Yeah.
But what are some of your good memories of Little Hoopsters growing up?
What I remember is like being on team. Like I would have to play up being a younger kid. My dad would always make me play up 2-3 grades. I remember having teams that are just really bad and not wanting to play. And then I remember having to get through it because the team the next hour was really good, and I liked playing on that team. I don't really remember any like specific baskets or anything like that, but all in all, it was just Little Hoopsters was everything you look forward to. You know, you're just it wasn't even the weekend on Fridays that you were looking forward to coming out of school. It was Little Hoopsters, so yeah.
And so I hung out with your dad at the game last night against Buchanan. So, I asked him a story about you, right? What can you tell me about Jackson growing up? And you mentioned it, right? You led perfectly into it. He said, well, he put you up. put you up for, age group-wise. So when you were 4 or 5 years old, you were playing up. And apparently there's a story, and I was trying to fish to see if you remember this. So there's a story that your dad said that you were – put up and you were tearing it up. You guys were smashing the other team, and you were probably crossing some kids already at that young age. And apparently a dad came down and got mad at your dad and said, that kid should not be playing up, he's too good, he's destroying these kids. So your dad sat you for the rest of the game, right? And you didn't like it too much, and apparently there's a couple of tears and some things that were falling because of that. So I don't hey, you know what, that's just I'm just relaying, I'm just the messenger on that. So hey, you might not remember it, but according to your dad that happened. So parents are already getting mad at you for being too good.
I think I know what he's talking about, and there was like I think there was only 6 players on the team. Like,
oh, there you go.
I wasn't even supposed to be on that team. Like, he just put me there because they didn't have subs, right? And kids were getting tired, so he had to sit me and they had to play with 5. So.
Well, there you go. Okay, so I gave the Cliff Notes version. So there's the whole story. So that is true. So, yeah, you messed up the rotations and stuff. So anyway, I think that just shows your competitiveness, right? You want to see the court, right? You want to play ball, man. You were born to play basketball. So this year's team, right, we can talk about last year's team, the incredible run that you had as well. But this class especially, right, this junior class has been something that people have talked about since like 8th grade Kasner, right? AAU kind of stuff. And man, be careful of this class is legit. So mention some of your dudes in your class, your junior class, and the chemistry that you guys have together.
It starts from Little Hoopsters. That's where we met everybody. Being like 6 years old, you meet Marshall Sanders, he was on my team. Zachary Chahan, I went to elementary school with him, known him since we were 6. Titus Kajavi, he came from Nelson, came to Valley Oak, played with Marshall, and we played each other in the district championship in 6th grade, so it was 2 West schools, so they knew once we were getting to Kasner, we were just going to blow out the competition, and that's what we did. I don't think our closest game might have been 30. We never lost a game both years. And now here, we've 3 of us made varsity as freshmen, 1 varsity as a sophomore, and we're tighter than ever. We've grown up together, played on the same AAU teams, and we had to learn how to handle Wahlberg together. So it was good having 3 others with you, to deal with the same struggles.
Talking with Jackson Young, Clovis West, boys basketball. He's a junior. So talk about how that's translated on the court. So I've watched you guys a lot over the last 3 years, and it's almost like, you get hyped when you make big plays, and you guys have made definitely big plays, but it's almost like it's expected. Like, yeah, I know what Marshall could do. Yeah, I know Marshall's going to D that up. And then those guys are like, yeah, I know Jackson's going to be ready to hit that shot, right? Mm-hmm. Is that just kind of now it's almost an expectation? It's just like, man, that's just life on the court with us.
You play with somebody for so long. You know their ins and outs. And we got a false sense of security of really early. Like, we'd play in town, play up a grade, and blow out teams. And then we go out of town for the first time, and I'm talking we're losing by 50, 60 to teams up north, teams down south. And it was not fun. We got humbled really quick. And so now, flash forward to current, when we play teams in town, like if they're not as good, it doesn't really like beating them by that much is not like we're not okay with it. You know, got like it. you have to win and be able to win in other places too. So, the big shot, none of us are afraid of. Any one of us could hit it. Yeah.
And you hit some last year. I mean, gosh, St. Joe's, that game was incredible in the Central Section Championship game. And you guys took it overtime. I think you guys were down, what, 20 points in the, you know, in the third quarter. And, you know, big shot after big shot. And talking about Isaac Martinez, who's a grade ahead of you. Mm-hmm. And then Tyrus Parrish Tillman, who graduated last year, came up with some big shots. So, you know, let's take those moments in the Clovis West gym where it's just – it's loud. Think about Modesto mm-hmm. Christian, too. Last year's playoffs, just it's loud. You know, people are screaming. The action is right on top of you. As a player, what's going through your mind? Are you just like focus on the game? Are you able to block it out? Do you feed off the energy? What is that for you?
A little bit of both. To an extent, I block out everything except what my teammates and coaches are saying. And then also, I eat up the noise. Like I love it. It boosts adrenaline inside me, and I play better because of it. But like I was telling you, growing up, we've played like crazy teams. I'm talking like the number one team in the country at the time from Texas, or Tracy McGrady's team when Tracy is literally sitting on their bench. Like big games like that in front of big people. So like when the crowd's like that, we all find a way to make it work. And yeah.
And you're a playmaker, yeah. Right? And last night, again, it's a 40-point win of Buchanan, but one thing I know about Coach Wahlberg and Clovis West basketball is when you're on the court, you are giving your full effort, and if you're not, you're getting yanked out. And there is a, I don't know, about a minute stretch where you played great defense and had a steal. It was like a 3-on-1, right? Yeah. They had 3-on-1 on you, and you picked the dude and went in, and I think you made this one-handed pass over the top for a layup, right? Yeah. And then coming back on defense, you made another defensive play. You know, and they come down and hit a three-point shot. You hit three threes in last night's game. So how do you see yourself fitting on the Clovis West team? See yourself, man, I'm going to contribute any way possible for a win, right? Is that your mentality?
100%. Some teams you can see, they have players that are worried about their individual accolades or whatever. I really, at the end of the day, winning is what I want. Like, there was no better feeling than last year getting a ring on that finger. So, by any means, whatever I need to do, I'll do it to get that same feeling again. My role for the team is like a leadership role this year. I've had to step up from, you know, being one of the biggest or latest returners, like you said, since my freshman year, and being a vocal leader too. It's hard to say things that people don't want to hear because sometimes people aren't going to like you all the time. And you got to be willing to say it and, deal with the consequences after. But you know, I've tried my best to be liked by the team, but also be that leader that the team needs. So,
like a next level basketball player, right? Just not just a guy that can hit a 3-point shot or make a defensive play, but more of like a team leader and all that. So Modesto, Chris, so you guys are 19-0, right?
Yeah.
You start the year off pretty hot, then you run into that Modesto Christian game, right?
Yeah.
And then the Clovis North, at Modesto Christian at their place, and they beat you. And then, you know, the Clovis North loss, right, 68-66. So what did you learn about your team after those two games, right? So, I mean, winning's great, right? You love winning, right? But, you know, sometimes there's going to be some adversity. But what did you learn about maybe yourself or the team after those two losses or something that you feel like you need to get better at?
Well, we knew it was something on the inside. Against Modesto Christian, we learned quick that their athleticism, their size, it was just too much to handle at that current time. So when that game ended, it was a shock. We were all in the locker room quiet after the game, and it put things in perspective. Like we can't mess around. Like we're not as good as we think we are. We need to get better. And then North, you know, it just kind of backed it up. We had 30 something turnovers and 24 missed layups. So, you know, that just even alone, that's insane. Like it's on the inside. So the next week of practice, we got down to it, made sure we were making layups at practice, not turning the ball over. You know, turnovers were worth points for the other team. And so, yeah, we took it as something upon ourselves. It wasn't anybody else's fault. And yeah, that's about it.
Yeah, and you kind of snickered, and I kind of did too, with saying, "Well, make sure you got to make some layups." So are there some layup drills, you know, during practice that are just like, "Oh man, these are hell layup drills," or right? What's going on?
Yeah, we start off practice now with five layups on each side, right and left, and you're marked down for everyone you miss. And if you miss, say we start with just regular right hand layups. If one person misses them, we have to restart till everybody makes them. And then you get marked down when you miss.
And that's everybody, the whole team.
Yeah.
1 through 18 players, yeah, or whatever you guys
are. Yeah, and you miss, you get marked down, and whatever, however many of those markings you get is a sprint or a push-up or whatever. There's a consequence for missing them, so it takes a lot of focus on those layups.
So that's just a right side, just a regular layup on the right side, and then left side? And then are you guys doing reverse layups on those two?
Yeah, reverse, cross-back, hesitation. Euro step.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I've heard that if you can make it through a Wahlberg practice, right, you can make it through anything in life, right? Or make it through any type of game.
Yeah.
All right. Is that true?
I mean,
it just makes you stronger, right? The mental part of the game.
Definitely, you know, you get yelled at by anybody else in your life and it's not that big of a deal anymore. But Wahlberg's practices are pretty intense. He has all these stories about kids that go on to college and they say, like, my college practices were easier than my high school ones, and they thank him for that. So, I'd be lying saying playing for him was easy. It's not, but it's worth it. I promise.
And I, you know, when I wrote for the Clovis Roundup, I did a huge article on Coach Wahlberg, and he was very gracious with his time. He was a coach for the Sacramento Kings at that time, and through a common contact, I texted him. He's like, "Yeah, sure, Paul, come on up." So I'm like, "Oh, really? This is happening? Okay, I guess, right?" So drove up to Sacramento, sat with him after a practice, and he gave me an hour and a half of his time. And you know, I'll never forget that. And he was very gracious. And then, you know, a couple follow-up phone calls, and actually met me after the game. I got tickets to the game and met me after the game. So, you know, it's – and everybody I talked to for that article as well, because I talked to about 7 or 8 different people and got quotes for them, they all basically say the same thing, right? Like, the lessons that I learned from playing basketball from him just went beyond basketball, went through life. And, you know, all those guys are administrators and coaches themselves.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there's just a different thing about high school sports, those things that you remember, those things that are instilled with you. And, you know, it may break you down sometimes, and, you know, sometimes that might be a good thing. And so it just makes you stronger in the end. So, you know, I'm happy that you're able to recognize that and get through that. Jackson, so talking about that Clovis North game, you know, how you guys are going to bounce back. You know, you're going to play them again, obviously, at your place. You know, it's going to be a different game, and I think there's going to be a huge crowd at that. So when you are ready to play in big-time games like that, like, What's going through? Is there nothing like that? Like, that's the thing in life you most think about?
There's nothing like that feeling, you know? Like, everybody now is old enough to know people from different schools. Obviously, off the court, we're friends, but on the court, we're not, you know?
Yeah.
And North and West has been a rivalry forever, you know? They've been the best two teams in the track for as long as I can remember. And so, I mean, losing to them in the beginning of the season, we're definitely on one for the next game, and I'm excited for it.
No, I am too. I think people are too. So, you know, Jackson, I'm going to wrap things up here, but I think you're, you know, probably some pressure on you. You know, your dad's a coach, and your dad coached at Clovis West. You know, do you just kind of take that pressure that you might feel at times and just kind of let it out on the court? Do you feel that at all at times? You're just like, man, I just want to play ball.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm outside of the court, I'm morally a quiet kid. I don't really talk a lot. I'm never the loudest dude in the group. But on the court, you can see all my emotion come out. You know, my head gets red. It looks like I'm blowing off steam, you know. But, basketball is where you can let it all out. And, it's fun.
No, it is. And I see it on the court, too, and people witness this. And I know you have a 3.8 GPA, and I know you have a goal to play in college.
Yeah.
And then also, too, just talking to you, we got to sign off in a second, but you got a great radio voice, man. You say you don't talk a lot, but, man, you got a great radio voice. So, Jackson, I appreciate you, you know, coming on the show, coming here to First String Sports. Congratulations, you're a 1430 ESPN Student Athlete of the Week, and good luck the rest of the way.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
You bet. All right, thank you to First String Sports. Thanks to Jorge. Gabe Camarillo, Ken Sir Justin Garza, high school boys coach, and Jackson Young. Thank you guys for listening. This is the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN.